This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Levi Ubelt, thank you so much, along with David Jenkins, Tim Mize here, and we are up in the balcony here in the gymnasium at Nokomis for the three-on-three basketball tournament. And David, we've been coming here now for a number of years, and this is an event that started outside, and they quickly realized, wait a minute, it's like July and really hot. Let's get into the AC.
A lot of cramping, I imagine, early on. A lot of having to take breaks for water and everything. So it's a good move to bring it inside. I don't know that there are a lot of indoor three-on-three tournaments in this time of year, because I think they said there are some other three-on-three tournaments going on around this time of year, but they're all outside. So Nokomis, the benefit of being inside their gym.
Well, when I was a kid, I remember me and my buddies would always go down to St. Louis and play and hoop it up. Mm-hmm. That was street ball. Down in St. Louis, that was always fun. Of course, you got the Gus Macker three-on-three tournament. That's an outdoor tournament as well. But this is neat because it's localized here in Nokomis. And for the first time, we'll be talking to Taylor and Nikki Loman, the organizers of the three-on-three tournament here. But they've got an adult division this year. The first year they've done that, it's sold out.
Yep.
All eight teams got filled up, and one of the adult games is going on right now. And, I mean, we've got, you know, Trevor Wright's down there. He just...
Is that one of them down there?
Yeah.
I'm having trouble recognizing some of them from up here.
They need their high school jerseys on.
Yeah. See, I see what – I think it's Caden White down there, Hillsborough alum, and Camden Ransdell, former Nokomis players, down there as well. But the rest of them, I'm having a hard time making out right now. They're not wearing their high school jerseys.
That will be a spirited affair down there in the adult division here at the Nokomis 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Then, of course, you've got the young kids, and we have just lines – of youngsters waiting to get on the floor here. They got the four side courts working, so four games going simultaneously here at the 3-on-3 basketball tournament at Nokomis. We'll be talking again to Taylor and Nikki Loman coming up about that. We're going to have Bill Kinney join us later in the hour. Bill organizing the alumni football game, which is coming up in October. It'll be between Litchfield and Hillsborough this year. That's full tackle.
Yep.
Full pad, straight football like it's meant to be played, and they did it last year, the Toppers, with Greenville. It'll be Litchfield and Hillsborough this year, and we look forward to talking to Bill Kinney about that coming up probably around 9:30 here on Sports Saturday. But, David, I can't come into this gym and not think of Terry Choate. There are just too many memories that he gave us all inside this gym. And really, a lot of the memories, early memories, came across the hall in the old gym. That's where the girls were playing in 98 and 99 when they won the state championships. And back on January 6th of 2018, Nokomis honored those state championship teams. It was the 20th anniversary of the 98 championship. And Terry came. It was the first time that he had been out since he had been back in the hospital. And I remember that night vividly. They were replaying the highlights from that 98 game, and I hadn't heard them in probably 20 years, and I mean it was goosebumps and a few tears and just the enthusiasm and the joy that he expressed during those broadcasts were phenomenal. And I've said this before, he said things in those games that he never said again in his 40 years of broadcasting. The woohoos and the Merry Christmases and those types of things, those were just spontaneous in the moment.
Come on Bonnie
And It was awesome to hear his voice over the speaker that night. And they had a nice ceremony before the game, and Terry took the microphone during that pregame ceremony.
First and foremost, I appreciate being invited. It means a lot. This is the first night I've been out since being released from the hospital. It's good to be here. Good to be seen. I love it. It's great. Here's a little historical fact that maybe you don't remember, but I do. Remember Carrollton printed up t-shirts? Huh? Do you remember that, ladies? Oh, I do. I do. Carrollton had a tournament, and the Lady Redskins got out of that tournament so they could play another bigger game. And Carrollton people didn't like that. So they printed up a t-shirt. Which is just fodder. It was Baltimore's fault. Okay? I remember after Nokomis wins the overtime championship game against Carrollton. I remember the following Monday morning on Trading Post, I got a call from Danny Huff. And Danny Huff, I recognized his voice right off the bat. And Danny Huff says, hey, I've got some t-shirts for sale. In fact, I'll give them away. They've all got Carrollton on them. Well, it was a good time. There's an old saying, it's always better to be lucky than good. I was lucky. I happened to be in the right spot at the right time, made some terrific friends, made some terrific memories. And the second part of that saying is, it's always best to be good. So I was the lucky side. These guys, or these gals, were the good side. Congratulations. Thank you for the invitation. You will always be the state champion. And my name is Terry Toth, the proud voice of the Lady Redskins.
That got me that night when he said those words right there. I am Terry Toth, the voice of the Lady Redskins.
Proud voice.
Proud voice of the Lady Redskins. And he was. He was. The connection he had to this community was so excellent. He had connections to all of the communities in the listening area. But his connection to Nokomis always seemed a little different to me, being from Raymond, just down the blacktop. You know, of course, Raymond had the co-op with Nokomis for a number of years. And, of course, his good friend Mo Huff was the coach of those Nokomis state championship teams. And he just was absolutely adored here at Nokomis. And, David, I told the story before, but years ago, before Terry ever got sick with cancer, it was regional time, and he had the flu. And so he couldn't do a regional championship here at Nokomis. So you knew he was sick when he wasn't doing a regional championship at Nokomis. So I had to come do the game. And when I walked into the gym, you could see the visible disappointment on people's faces. You're not Terry. Where's Terry? Is Terry okay? What's wrong with Terry? Terry's fine. He's just sick. But that's what Terry established over his 40 years at WSMI was, if it was a big game, Terry was at it. Yep. He brought it into our homes, and he was just, he made us feel like we were actually at the ball game.
Well, and as you said, he had a lot of connections to, or connections to a lot of the communities in the area, but and I don't know, he might have felt different, but it sure seemed like Nokomis was almost a second home.
Oh, it was.
Like, being, just geographically being down the road, but I don't know. It just felt, obviously he was a Lincolnwood guy from Raymond, but it sure does seem like Nokomis was his second home.
And the connection he had to those state championship teams was so special. And back on the 6th of January in 2018, at halftime of that game, Terry talked with Molly McDowell and Jessica John for what turned out to be the final time.
Molly, it's been a while since I've seen you, kiddo.
Yeah, I know.
And you've gone from player to coach.
Yeah. Yep. I just got a full-time coaching job this past year, and it was quite an adjustment, but I'm transitioning into it okay.
What's the biggest adjustment you had to make?
Realizing that players' mentality isn't the same as my mentality, so I have to...
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to beat it into them sometimes.
You know, the same thing happens when kids think that they're smarter than their parents, and all of a sudden they become parents, and, you know, you go... Gee, maybe mom and dad were smarter than I thought. That's kind of the mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So where are you coaching?
I'm in Amsterdam. I'm working for the Dutch Basketball Federation. Coaching the under-18 national team and coaching, I'm a talent coach for the developmental team.
That's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a challenge every day. I work with 13 to 18-year-olds. I have 27 kids in my program, and we practice 20 hours a week. Two times a day, every day, and it's full-time basketball for them.
Now, and for like in the United States, it would be through the schools and stuff like that. That's not the case. This is a club-type team, right?
Yeah, normally in Europe, we play in the club system. It has nothing to do with schools. But now I'm coaching for the Basketball Federation now, so it's not really a club. It's part of the entire Federation of the Netherlands.
Kind of like U.S. soccer, U.S. basketball, stuff like that. So except you're doing it in Amsterdam. That's good. So are there times you just want to pull your hair out?
Every day.
Yeah, every day.
But I mean, I also love it. I miss my kids, and I fly back tomorrow, and I'm ready to get back on the court with them.
That's great. Molly McDowell, who, as Bob Davis pointed out,
a lot of records in that record book in Class 2A. Jessica John, Jessica Huff, has one of those records for three-pointers. Jess, come over here. How you doing, kiddo?
I'm great. How are you, Terry?
I'm doing wonderful. What are you up to these days?
I am living in Elmhurst, Illinois, suburb of Chicago, with my husband and two kiddos, and I am living it up, having a good time, facing my family, and being there for them. So, yeah.
Remember. Okay. Is that what I thought it was? Oh, they're broadcasting through the speaker. That's problematic there, isn't it, Tim?
It's probably not selling for you, I would think.
It's rather. Hey, guys, turn off the radio, okay? Sorry to tell you that. We're not going to get this interview done if you don't turn off the radio. Yeah. There we go. That's what they want. So if I say the word fire truck, what does that bring? What kind of memories?
Man, I tell you what. You know, I was just sitting there last week. Molly let me know that there was a link on YouTube with the state final game. I didn't realize it was out there. And it had been a long time since I watched that game. Sat down with my husband and my oldest, and it was just a flood of emotions that came back. It was awesome. I got goosebumps. Every single memory, every emotion came back, and it unlocked a lot of feelings. And so to come into tonight with that sort of, you know, feeling and seeing this team and all these people in this community that supported us so much, it's just, gosh, it was an amazing time in our life. It was a milestone. You know, you go through life, you have big days, you get married, you have babies, you start a new career. That was a milestone in my life, and, you know, it was awesome. Yeah.
You'll always be the state champs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Can't take that away, can they?
It's true. And I shared this story with your mom earlier tonight, but when I was in the hospital, I basically had to learn to walk again, and my wife put MTXC up on the calendar for me, and she said, if they did it, you can do it. And so that helped. It just... What was old is new again.
That's right. It's all, you know, that mental toughness. Man, that's such a life lesson, isn't it? And that's so good to hear. And I'm so happy to see you standing here in front of us and, sharing this chat with you right now, Terry, because you were a big part of, an integral part of everything we did back then. And so we're happy to have you here.
I got to be the lucky guy just to sit there and watch it, okay? Jessica John, thank you very much. Molly McDowell, thank you very much. You'll always be the state champs in my heart. And such a precious memory for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Molly.
Thanks, Terry.
There you go. Molly McDowell, Jessica John.
And there we go. That was Terry Toth's final talk with Molly McDowell and Jessica John from back on January 6th, 2018. And, of course, we will have the second annual T-Toth Shootout versus Cancer coming up December the 14th this year, and that'll be at Terry's alma mater, Lincolnwood High School, and we've got a wonderful slate of games lined up there, and I've seen a couple of the T-shirts from last year's inaugural shootout being worn by some of the three-on-three participants here today. We are at the Nokomis homecoming inside the gymnasium for the three-on-three basketball tournament. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we should have Taylor and Nikki Lohman up to chat with us as they are in charge of this wonderful event. We'll talk with the Lomans when Sports Saturday rolls on from the Nokomis homecoming following these messages. All right, Levi Ubelt, thank you so much. We are here at the 3-on-3 basketball tournament inside the gymnasium here at Nokomis. Coming up in just a moment, we will talk with Taylor and Nikki Lohman. They are the organizers of this event, and anybody who's ever organized anything before knows that it's a full-time job in a lot of ways, David.
It is. You don't really have a lot of downtime. You're also in charge, so you get to fix all the problems, or try to fix all the problems that everyone has to have. As Taylor was mentioning this morning when we were talking to her beforehand, she has to be in five places at once. As a matter of fact, I see her right there on the gym floor, briskly walking over, so she might be on her way up with Nikki. So, yes, it is a very, very, it's a very well-run event, but a lot goes behind the scenes in order to organize it.
And it's neat, the perch that we have up here on the balcony where we've got just a wonderful view of the court, but we've got little ladies playing on one side of the floor. We got more junior high age ladies playing on the opposite side of the floor. Then on the other end of the gymnasium, you've got older boys, and then you've got the adults,
yeah.
David. And the adult division, that's the first time for the 3-on-3 basketball tournament here. And Nikki was telling us they didn't get any high school teams this year. So we thought, well,
a couple. I think they had a couple of girls teams that are just going to play each other multiple times.
So she said, let's open it up to the adults and see what happens. And that was very well received as they wound up selling out the adult division. And, you know, once you get out of high school, you start itching for those competitive situations. You know, it's not the same when you just go out to the park and play a pickup game. It's not the same competitive nature. So here you've got bragging rights on the line, and so that's going to be a very contested affair over there in the adult division.
Well, Nikki was also saying before the tournament got started that we might see a lot of future success in high school with a lot of these kids playing today, because I guess the 8th and 9th grade divisions, both for boys and girls, full up, what with the lack of high school. So here in a few years, they might have a ton of high school talent here playing in this tournament as well.
That's exactly right. And, of course, when I got here, I had to move my car twice. I pulled up right next to the softball field and realized, oh, they're playing a slow-pitch softball game. As soon as I got out of my car, here goes a ball crashing into the fence. I thought, oh, that's probably not a good idea. So I moved over to the middle of the parking lot, and a gentleman said, hey, you might not want to park there. So I ended up going on the back side of the building because the last thing I want to do is have my windshield busted by a softball.
Yep.
That would be no good.
No.
Nikki Lohman is here. Is Taylor on her way? Or she?
She is on her way.
Okay.
She had a team come in that she's registering right now.
And I remember when we talked last year, we're talking with Nikki Lohman, the organizer here at the 3-on-3 tournament, and you had said that Taylor was kind of taking over because she's in college and this is the type of thing that she's interested in.
Yes, she is. She's taking over. She's doing a sports management program. There she is. And so she took over this year because in Maryville, you can probably finish the conversation.
About your existence and just, you know, what you're doing with your life, like things.
Right now I'm at Maryville University. I'm studying sports business management, thinking about marketing and accounting. I'm doing marketing, but I decided last year to take this over because my mom had a little bit on her plate.
A little bit, yes.
But I figured with my major, I'd probably be doing something somewhere around this, so I figured why not.
And when you get involved in, I guess, real-world situations like this, you know, classroom application is one thing, but when you actually get experience running an event, my goodness, that is so beneficial.
Yeah. It's a lot different than just sitting in a classroom and writing stuff down than having to run 5 million different places in one day.
Yeah, sometimes classroom is theory, you know, opposed to reality. And like
yes.
You said, when you get involved in this, you commented earlier, I got to be in 5 places at once here.
Yes, very much.
What has been the biggest, I guess, challenge for you as you've gotten into the organization of this 3-on-3 tournament?
Mainly just getting everything from teams. Sometimes I'll forget something, but I know having the high school division, just getting teams, because this year with baseball and, like, getting rainouts, we didn't have as many teams, so I decided to tell some of my friends, I'm like, hey, just get a couple teams together. If you can't get a lot, it's not a big deal. I said, it's just playing a couple games, but basically just getting teams and getting all the stuff from them.
And then, what's the funnest part?
Just seeing how fun everyone has, and when someone comes up and tells you, like, you did a great job, we would not think a 19-year-old girl came and did all this. That's the best part.
What type of help has your mom been for you in this?
Last year she helped a lot more than she probably should, but this year she's just there to, like, be like, did you remember this? Did you get this? And she's just there to, like, make sure I had everything.
And, Nikki, for you as a mother, it really has to be a sense of pride when you see your daughter in this type of role doing these things.
It is. It is. She's done a great job. As she said before, last year we had a little bit on our plate with the election and things going on. This year I can actually say that on the radio.
That's right.
I don't have to have advertising, whatever.
We got to stay legal.
Yes. So with every place I had to be last year, I knew I could never put the time and effort into it that it took. And her going into this, I thought, well, you know, she's a pretty, I have to say, she's an organized person. She's very good at this stuff. So she kind of took it on and she did what she had to do. And I stayed in the back last year and helped. You have the contacts. You have those connections. And it takes a little bit for those connections to form between those people that knew me and now it's her. You know, it's just another branch of me. You just have to be prepared to talk to her and not me. So she's taken out. And this year, I mean, she set the entire gym up on her own yesterday because I had due date. I couldn't be here. So she was here. She was doing it. She texted me on my way home and said, I'm done. And I just, like she said, did you remember this? And it's little things. Like, did you remember the can opener for the nacho cheese? Did you remember? I mean, those things that I have forgotten, yeah. And that's how I know it.
Well, you know, when you do something like this, it is the little things. Because if we get here and there's no nachos, there's chaos.
Yes.
So you mentioned that this spring was terrible with the rain. It messed up the farming. It messed up the baseball seasons all around. And so as a result of that, some of these summer tournaments got pushed back. So that dings some of the numbers for certain age groups. But I love the addition of the adult division.
Yes. I told them, I'm like, just keep it clean. I'm like, you do have fourth graders here, so try to keep it a little bit clean. I said, but basically it's just go have fun. Just have fun.
And that's what's great about these three-on-three tournaments, because I mentioned before, like, for the adult division specifically, and you probably understand this now, Chad, unless you're out of high school. It's hard to find the competitive environments that you're so accustomed to growing up playing sports all the way through school. You get out of high school and all of a sudden it's like, I can go play with my friends, but it's not the same.
Yeah. I mean, I know I play pickup basketball every once in a while, but it's not the same as playing. I miss it so much, so anytime I can get out there and play, I do. So I figured they probably would like it.
You were such a great player here at Nokomis, a long line of great players here at Nokomis, and you've got, and Terry called so many of those games over the years, and you did a really nice thing in remembering him.
Thank you. I knew this year with him passing, I did want to remember him, because I remember every year since I've been here, he's like, come on, Loman. He's just like, come on up there. I'm like, I don't know. Even if all like tournaments and stuff, when I'd be there late, he's like, come on, Loman. He's like, it's not that bad. I'm like, I guess. I'm like, so this one's for Terry, for finally getting up here.
That's awesome. And, you know, that was one of his great skills, was the ability to interview kids, you know, junior high kids, high school kids, because he just made you feel comfortable, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I always talking to him. I felt like I've known him forever, which I did, but
right.
Just sitting and talking to him, I could talk about anything.
And, Nikki, it's so weird for all of us, for him to not be here, and like everyone, you have so many memories of him.
I do. We spoke briefly earlier on Terry, and he made watching Taylor, you know, unfortunately my son's not in high school yet, but he made watching Taylor so much fun, because if I couldn't be there, I still was there as long as Terry was in the gym, because we just turned it on and we were there with her, because things happen and you can't be there. But he always made sure that, you know, I felt like I didn't miss any part of her career. Even when she was on the eighth grade team that went to state, mm-hmm. They were fourth place in state, and he was there. He was with that group. And her junior year, she got the flu the night before the last regional game against Okaw Valley.
Uh-huh.
And it was a last-minute three-pointer that they lost by. And she literally was sick all night long. I remember calling Brandon Engelman that morning and saying, she won't be at school. What are the rules? She has to stay home at least till noon. She's been up till 2 o'clock in the morning. And Brandon says, you're kidding. I said, no, I would not joke around about this. And he says, okay. So we get there and she sat for a lot. Brandon tried to save her because they were staying in the game, and she'd go in as much as she could. And she even said, coming out of the locker room, she drug a trash can, like, to the edge of the bench because that's how bad she felt. Terry knew. We hadn't talked to Terry, but after the game, he said, what's wrong with her? And I explained to him the situation. He said, I knew something was not right with her because she was not going down like that. You know, she was the last second shot at Neoga the year before to
right.
send him into the, you know, championship. He's like, she just, and I said, please don't talk to her about it because she's not having a very good day.
Taylor, it's always so frustrating when you're an athlete and something that you can't control comes up at just the worst possible time.
Yes, I was so mad that night. I just didn't feel good, and I told Brandon, I'm like, when I was sitting and I didn't feel good, I'm like, put me back in the game right now. I don't care if I throw up on someone. I'm like, put me back in the game.
The new defense.
Yeah.
Oh. So we're talking with Nikki and Taylor Lohman here at the 3-on-3 basketball tournament at the Nokomis Homecoming. And if someone's listening and thinking, wait a minute, I want to plan this next year, what's the process?
Just email me at taylorlohman25@gmail.com, and I will get you forms for next year.
Good deal. And how many teams this year?
I think around 30, 32.
Around 30, 32. That's a very good turnout. And I love the mix. You got the young girls, the junior high girls, the younger boys, and then the adult division. And you got the kids lined up along the bleachers as well, just waiting to play. This is a really neat atmosphere. And the fact it's in the gym, I think, really elevates it to a different level.
Yes. It was outside for a while, but I remember playing in that, and it was way too hot to be doing that.
Yeah.
So we're like, we'll take it in the gym.
You can probably attest to it better than I can. I just sit here, but we've spoken in the past about how you felt coming. You came through this tournament. So as a little kid, to play on this floor is pretty neat in and of itself, because you sit here and watch all these big kids, and now literally you're playing alongside Marcus Chaussee in the back corner and Devin Wright and
right.
Those kids that you watched.
Yeah. Taylor, what was it like for you growing up in Nokomis with the history? There's such a rich basketball history here, girls and boys both. So, yeah, it has to be kind of a surreal moment for you the first time when you're out on this floor right here.
It is. I've always... Since I was little, I've like any chance I got, I was like, I want to be at the high school. I was like, I want to play on the same court Molly McDowell and everyone has played on. I'm like, anytime I could, I want to be on here.
Awesome. Taylor and Nikki Lohman, I know you got a lot to do today. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here this morning. Congratulations on another great event, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Taylor and Nikki Lohman joining us here on Sports Saturday at the 3-on-3 basketball tournament at the Nokomis Homecoming. We're going to get Bill Kinney up here in just a moment. He's going to talk to us about the alumni football game that is coming up in October. It's going to feature Litchfield and Hillsboro this year. Of course, last year it was Hillsboro and Greenville. And we're talking full tackle, full patch, straight up football coming up in October for the alumni game. We're happy that Bill Kinney can join us here this morning on Sports Saturday. And so thank you for stopping by, and this event here is always fun.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
When we talked last year, I remember when you contacted us, you were like, hey, we're having an alumni football game. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, well, it's not tackle. You said, oh, it's tackle.
Yes, full pads, full everything.
How did it go last year? It was Hillsboro, Greenville. Tell us about last year's event.
Last year, it was a really good game. It was the last game of the season for the USA alumni football. It was pretty close all the way through. Of course, you know, Hillsboro won 20-6.
Of course.
It was a great game. It was a hardcore game. It was the equivalent, you know, of a playoff game. The money that we raised for both teams, we both raised, I'm trying to look here. It was over $6,000
that
Hillsboro raised. It was like a little over $3,000 for Greenville. It was a really good fundraiser for both schools. So now we're trying to get Litchfield this year, for sure this year. So that's where we're at.
Is that money that goes to the athletic department specifically, or just the school in general?
It gets divided up to different groups. Like the JFL, we donated it to the JFL and to the high school group last year. Last year we also had alumni cheerleaders. They helped contribute to some of that money in that big pot there, so they raise money for their association.
Now, do the alumni cheerleaders, do they have pyramids and flips working?
I didn't get to watch. I was out on the field. But I will say, you know, it was a really good time we had out there. And, of course, I was sore for about 2 weeks afterwards. I didn't plan on playing as much as I thought I was going to play. I had my mindset, well, I'm only going to play so much. Second half, I on offense, you know, a guard, I played almost every play on the offense after the half, and I felt it.
You were an integral part to your team.
Yes. I got steamrolled a couple times, and it's on the highlight reel.
Oh, man, yeah, highlight reel of folks, right? And I do believe there was no major injury issues,
there
right?
There were a few injuries.
Major ones?
Yeah, we had a couple major ones. But everybody turned out to be all right. That's good. It's the main thing. So I don't think they're going to be playing this year.
Probably not. What was the age range of the participants last year?
We had the oldest was on Greenville, and I think he was in his 50s.
Oh, man.
And I can't quote what his age was off the top of my head, but he was up in his 50s, down to, I think, the youngest was maybe 19. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet he was doing it for a while.
Yeah. He was actually probably better shape than most of us.
Oh, there you go. If you're in your 50s and said, I want to play some full tackle football, you better be in shape.
Yes, yes.
So as far as the number of participants last year for Hillsboro, are you more or less this year for the game?
Right now we are less. We need to get some more guys signed up. Right now we have quite a few guys signed up, but they haven't paid yet. We have to have them. We have to be paid up here by the end, I think, this month to really set our date. And that goes for both teams. I'm not sure where Litchfield's at. We're trying to keep a communication, but it's difficult with everybody working. And we've been hosting some little practices about every other Sunday there in Hillsboro just to kind of get ourselves back into it a little bit. And we've had about 11 guys show up on that. So
you said, I mean, you organizing this with Hillsboro, you kind of know where Hillsboro's at right now. You said you're not sure where Litchfield is. You do have a contingency just in case.
Yes, yes. We do have a contingency in case neither team gets enough players. It most likely will be a rematch against Greenville. That's our contingency plan because Greenville is supposed to be playing against Vandalia. Sounds like they might have some number issues as well. So, and if that's the case, we're going to combine schools and play against each other again. And it most likely will be in Hillsboro then.
So if people from Litchfield want to play, they contact you? Or is there someone from Litchfield that they get
They have
contact
a contact. With? I think they have a Facebook page.
Okay.
I know, I don't know off the top of my head who's all in charge over there on that side of the fence. So
there's a Facebook page for everything.
Yes, yes.
When in doubt, go to Facebook.
You can go to the U.S. Alumni football.com, and if you log on there, you'd be able to find what teams have established a team, you know, what schools. So,
and the U.S. Alumni Football, that is the organization that makes this all possible.
Correct. Yes, they have come through. They make money off this, but their main goal is to get a fundraiser for a school because, you know, football, you don't see, you know, right here, this is almost like an alumni. You need to go back out here and play.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all ages. You know, football, once you're done with either high school or college, you know, you're done.
It's over.
You're done, and here this gives an opportunity to some of the players that, you know, maybe they didn't get to play as much in high school, or maybe they didn't even play at all. You know, but they've always wanted to play, and they were a decent athlete, and they can still come out and play if they want with us. You know,
I got a feeling in 4 years you're going to have Jordan Gregg signing.
You know, he might be. You know, it'd be great. You know, I know he's, you know, he's going off to college. He's going to be doing really good. So, and we hope that I do this. My first year doing it, it was because I wanted to play. This now I see how some of the kids react, especially my own son, seeing me play. It really motivated him to play again this year. Like, you know, I really like this. No, dad's playing. So, and I could see other kids, they get really motivated because we allow the JFL to come out there to be the water boys and stuff for the game. So they're out there with us, out there on the field. They get to see firsthand, you know, us playing.
And that helps just kind of community pride as a whole, you know, kind of the circle of life,
yes,
if you will. When you've got the young kids out there, because eventually they'll be in high school, and then hopefully years from now when this game's still going on, then they'll be out there as the alumni.
Yes, yes, that's our goal. That hopefully, and to continue bringing money into both, you know, the JFL and the high school, you know, it's a really good fundraiser. I mean, I can't believe how much money we actually spend on it
and
raise on it.
That's the thing about football. It takes a lot of money.
Yes.
You know, with the equipment, for the pads, for the players, with the actual equipment for practice. I mean, this stuff is expensive, and so every penny that can be raised is helpful, obviously.
Yes, yes, it is. And so far, you know, right now I'm glad our game is the last game again of the season because that gives us more time to not just prepare ourselves, but to prepare, you know, other fundraisers to help, you know, we can contribute back to our own community. You know, I know like last year Litchfield had, the high school had struggled getting a team together.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the reasons why we're doing it, so we can get teams like that, schools like that, back into the into playing football, get the community fired up, you know, and be proudful of their teams.
It's an alumni game. Does that mean you had to play football for the school or just graduate from the school?
You just had, the way it had set up, you had to either go to the school, you know, in that school district, or you're a transplant. So say if you didn't go to school there, but now you live in the community and you have a child that goes to that school system, you can play for them.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, we it's pretty open. You know, so far, I mean, we haven't had any issues with other teams trying to sneak somebody
ringers.
In. Ringers. You know. In a way, if that gives them their numbers, you know, we're all, I don't have any issues with that. You know, because we're mainly there to raise money for the community. You know, and if we can get a guy that wants to come in and play, hey, go for it.
What's the, I guess, the floor for the number of players you have to have on the team for it to be a go?
For it to be go, we had to have 25 on both teams signed up and paid for. Now, the pay for, that's what scares everybody. If it's $100 per player, mm-hmm. but it's refundable. So you pay, say you pay tomorrow, and the day before the game, something comes up and you can't play. They reimburse you.
That's awesome.
So you're not in any pain. No, that was the scary part for a lot of guys. Like, you know, I got family vacation coming up. You know, I don't want to get hurt. That the hurt's the big one. It's the biggest one of all of them.
Well, you know, sure.
But if you're only going out there to play a few plays, you know, you should be good. You know, that's the mindset. My mindset was I'm only going to play a few plays. You know, but then I got really sucked into it. And then, you know,
well, I would imagine that once that ball kicks off, some of the old memories come back. It's like, oh, I'm ready to lay someone out now.
And like I said last year, you know, this is the legal place you can hit someone.
Right. Yeah. As a police officer, you know that.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because we see, I mean, you can, every once in a while you'll see alumni football, but it's never tackle. It's like
correct.
Flag or touch
uh-huh.
football.
This is, yeah, full pads, helmets. I mean, it is, if you haven't done it, you know, it's hard to explain because you're not in that high school mindset because you're adults. So it's just a good time. You get to meet up with some guys that you haven't seen in years. You make a new friends. You know, and it's a time, you know, that it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
You know, and if there's people out there that are on the fence, you know, go out to one of the guys at our practices, you know, because you don't have to pay to practice. You know, you just come out, see what we're doing, how we're having a good time. We're throwing the ball around. I mean, it's you know, you feel young.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, he's like, holy cow, I'm not as young as I used to be. I need to, you know, with some water.
We're talking with Bill Kinney here about the Litchfield Hillsborough alumni football game coming up. When are the practices and where are the practices?
Right now in Hillsborough, we're having a practice this Sunday. Our normal rotation is every other Sunday. So I think we're probably going to stick with this coming Sunday then and start going mm-hmm. about every other until the end of July here. I think there's an actual sign-up date again to where, and I'll throw that out on our Facebook page. And but I can't remember quite what date that was. I didn't write that down to remember.
Go to Facebook.
yeah, Facebook has it. Yeah, if I get it put up.
So, Bill, if someone wants to play, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you or get in contact with the proper people? Is it just go to Facebook and look up?
Or you can look up online the alumni football,
okay.
USAalumnifootball.com, and you'll go on there, and if you just make yourself an account, you log in, and you look for your school, and then they'll have a list of everybody who's already signed up, and it gives out information on everything. Where we make the money, by the way, is from pre-sale tickets. You know, that's how we the school makes money, is
okay.
the pre-sale tickets and concessions. It 100% concessions go back to the school, the host school. So the school that has the field, you know, they are the ones that get to keep that money.
Will it be in Litchfield or Hillsborough this year?
We're trying to get in Litchfield.
Okay.
As long as Litchfield gets the team going,
right.
you know, then it'll be in Litchfield.
All right, yeah, get yourself a delicious pork burger, sit down,
yeah.
and enjoy some football. What was the attendance like last year? I would imagine it was pretty good.
It was good, and I don't have those numbers because I went and just looked up the amount we made.
Yeah.
We sold quite a few tickets. There was quite a few. It was about the size of a playoff game.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where you had, you know, the crowd attendance.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We had a lot of tickets we sold, and, you know, people couldn't make it, but, you know, that was their donation. So
Bill Kinney, thank you so much for coming up and talking to us today about the alumni football game coming up October 12th.
October 12th, yes.
Litchfield, Hillsboro. Anything else about the game you want people to know about?
Not right now.
Okay.
I mean, we are looking for sponsors, you know, that help help with we're trying to get jerseys for Hillsboro this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking that we have our own jerseys instead of the ones that we rent.
Okay.
So that's one of the fundraisers we're trying to do. But anybody that wants to sponsor because a lot of the money goes to the JFL and to the high school. So, you know, if any sponsors out there that are willing to participate, and hopefully we can get Litchfield on board more, and that's about it.
Sounds good. Bill Kinney,
okay.
If you need anything from us, just let us know,
all
sir.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
All right, Litchfield Hillsboro alumni football coming up on October the 12th. We need to take a break here. We are live at the Nokomis Homecoming inside the gym at the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. I see girls basketball coach Brandon Engelman standing by, fresh back from Florida. He's going to join us here coming up on the other side of this break as Sports Saturday rolls on. And we are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, along with now Brandon Engelman, the head girls basketball coach here at Nokomis. And Brandon, thanks for joining us. And you've had an interesting 12 hours.
I have. We rolled back in last night at about 4:30 in the morning after a 12, 13-hour drive from Florida. So if I seem a little jet-lagged a little bit, I might be.
But, you know, Brandon, when the basketball season is so long, it's the only high school sport that encompasses both semesters of school.
Right.
It takes up your Christmas break. And so you put so much time in. So in the summertime, when you get this time, extended time with your family, it's really precious.
Oh, it is. We'd like to give the girls a break the month of July for the most part. We'll do some open gyms here, let them come in and work out a little bit. For the most part, we try to do all of our stuff in June, be done in June, and let them have the month of July off. There's still some volleyball things going on, but we try to get out of the way. They need a break.
And I think that's one of the great things that you guys do here at Nokomis is you don't require or expect your kids to commit their entire summer to your program. We're going to come in month, do what we need to do. Let's work hard, be
right.
focused, get it
right.
done, and go have fun.
Right. That's right. And it's our school, the size, they got to play them all. They got to play all the sports for us to have a thing. And I encourage you girls, play everything. You're in high school one time.
Yeah.
Play everything you can. And I talk to Coach Mahatchko quite a bit before we line our schedules out and make sure we're not overlapping too much with them. And there's a couple times during the summer we'll have them do it. Some will overlap, and they got to do a volleyball thing in the morning or basketball in the evening or vice versa. And we try to avoid that just because it's so much for them to do. And then we want them to be able to have their own summer as well. And a lot of them work at the same time. So we try to get our work done but stay out of the way as well and let them enjoy being 16, 17 years old.
You've got your Toe Tough shirt on from last year's T-Toe Shootout versus Cancer, and that was one thing that Terry, it was probably his most consistent message about high school sports. It's about the kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I came in, and one of my goals when I took the job is I want the girl wins, losses, that's all fun because that makes the experience better. But in the end, when they get done with high school, I want them to make sure they've had a positive experience and really enjoyed playing high school sports, playing basketball. So, of course, winning goes along with that and makes it more enjoyable when you just, you got to push them to a limit, but there's a limit as well that it has to be enjoyable for them to continue playing for them.
And last year really put that philosophy to the test. Your numbers were down. There weren't a lot of wins to be had, but I could see by the end of the year, your team had gotten better, and they still had smiles on their faces.
It did, and we knew the expectations of that. We lost so much from the year before, and our expectations and we were going to have was going to be tough for us during the year, and we said that at the beginning. Wins and losses, we're not going to count them at the beginning of the year. We're just going to come in. We want to make sure we're having an enjoyable time. At the same time, though, we need to push ourselves, because if you don't, it doesn't get enjoyable to get pounded every single night all the time. You have to find ways to continue to make sure you're getting better and making progress.
I remember being here.
So it's a balance between that.
Late in the year, Brandon, when Hillsboro was in town. Yeah. Of course, you know where Hillsboro wound
right.
up.
Right.
State tournament. You guys took it 2-0.
Yeah, we jumped out 8, 9, 10 to 2, yeah. whatever, and we're playing well, and the girls are all excited and playing well, and it didn't take long for that team to come back and do that, but we really built on that. We took that quarter that we played with them, a quarter and a half we played with a team like that, and said, look what we can do. We just got to find a way to make this play 2 or 3 more quarters like this. We can have flashes like to do that.
And
we did the same thing with the painted team. The painted team, we're now 1 and a half time, and the girls are in there. They were an extremely good team, and we just you use those little things like that to motivate the girls and to show them how much fun it can be if you can work at it.
And then you carried that into the regional.
We did.
Against Central A&M.
We did. We played well there in the Central A&M and played right with them there. Along with that, losing our point guard about 3 minutes into the game. So during that game, I don't realize that she's not in the game. I mean, I realize she's not in the game, but in the end, I'm like, she only played like 3 minutes. Kristen Stouter, her knee. And then, so it was, but we played with them and just kept building on that and understood that the more you play, the more you push yourselves, the funner it gets, and to make sure you have an enjoyable time by getting better all the time.
Getting better. You want to be a better team at the end of the year than you were at the start of the year. And you said your numbers are up for this summer, and the numbers are so critical because maybe fans don't think about this necessarily. When your numbers are down, you can't have a competitive practice.
No, we can't. It was tough last year. All last year, we'd have 11 girls total, and during the whole month of December, two of them were hurt. So we had nine. So me and Coach Brownback are trying to play to make a five-on-five game at the same time. It's hard to play and to coach at the same time. And for us to really push them, I mean, we're not in good shape to be playing these girls. And just to push them, the total atmosphere is night and day different. Not because of the girls, just because of the sheer numbers. From this spring, summer coming in, we got 15, 16 girls coming in. So we were able to play girls and they were able to play hard and then get a little break and then they come back in and play. So just the atmosphere of the competition is there, and it just changes the whole demeanor of our atmosphere of our practices.
Who are going to be some of the key contributors for you here as we get into the season?
Well, we've got a couple big returners here. Macy Eisenbarth. Macy is just a tremendous leader and example for us. She's just such a hard worker. She's so undersized to be in the usually playing in the post and so undersized. It just works her tail off. Everybody you say, oh, Macy just works so hard. And it's true. It's day in, day out, practice the same way. So we're really going to rely on her to be a leader. We got Kristen Stouter, who tore her meniscus when she was last game of the year. So she's been in surgery at the end of the year and is just never recovering, just getting released right now. So she's going to be a huge part of it. Mia Fessler's going to be right there.
But you got to deal with Carl Ray, though.
Yeah, we do get Carl Ray in the middle there, but he's a tenacious player, and he's kind of like just like me. And so he pushes her to make sure that she's playing hard. And Katie Jansen can be our other senior. So Macy and Katie will be our two seniors. And so we'll have some good ball handlers. And then we got some young girls ready to step in. Delaney Kaiser, who got tons of playing time last year, will be there to play. Jamie Johnson will be another junior. And then we got a couple sophomores. And then we may have some freshmen that might be able to play, but they're still going to be freshmen. So they'll be a ways away from being, if we're going to rely on them, we'll be struggle for a little bit.
The jump, I don't care how good you are, the jump from junior high to varsity ball is so huge. And very few, not everybody's Sammy Matouche.
No, exactly.
You can't just step in as a freshman and dominate. It's hard.
You realize whenever you go in, you go to a high school game and you watch them play, and some of these girls are like, oh, they're freshmen, they're playing. But then you go step in there and play, and I realize, well, what kind of level that person is to be playing as a freshman. And this summer, some of our freshmen got thrown right into it. We got vacations going on. Katie Jansen was in Germany all summer with a class trip, and with Kristen being out. So we had some freshmen were thrown right in, and it was an eye-opener for them to be in some of the varsity camps that we went to. So it lets them know right away, what do you got to work for? How hard do you got to work if you're ready to play varsity next year?
What type of camps were you going to? What type of tournaments were you in, the competition you were facing?
We went to Pena and play over there, and we played some really good Clinton team over there. We took a night over there as well, took our freshman and JV teams and played Greenville and Pena, and Pena's loaded top to bottom, freshman through senior. Greenville has some good quality team. They lost quite a bit last year, but they still got some good players back. And then we went to Illinois College, and there's some good teams up there to play. And then we go to UIS as well and play 3 days at UIS and play some good teams around there. There were some teams we hung around with there, and the girls, they see them play, and I'm like, these guys are really good last year, and brought everybody back. And then we'd hang with them for a while and play. I'm like, there we go. That's where we got to be. We're not that far off.
And, that's the thing about summer. Let's talk about basketball players are made in the summer.
For sure. For sure. We do a shot club to try to challenge girls to shoot 10,000 shots. It's kind of hard for some of them older varsity girls. They got jobs and all that to be going on as well. But we try to tell them, if you don't pick a basketball up from now, I tried to tell them, if you don't pick up basketball from now until basketball season, don't expect different results than what we got last year. You're going to need to continue to play and work hard at it and come in and get it done.
Awesome. Brendan Ingema, thank you for a few minutes of your time. You need a nap, sir.
I'm going to get here. I'm going to watch some more basketball here first, though.
Of course.
All right.
Always a coach.
We'll do that first.
Brendan Ingema, thank you so
thank
much.
You very
we look
much.
Forward to seeing you coming up this winter. That's going to wrap up Sports Saturday here from the Nokomis Homecoming. It's a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Thanks to Nikki and Taylor Lohman for stopping by, the organizers of the event. Thanks to Bill Kinney for talking USA alumni football. Litchfield Hillsboro coming up October 12th. And, of course, thanks to Nokomis girls basketball coach Brandon Eagleman. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbonville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.